Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
We're continuing this morning in our Greater Love series. On our website, there is a list of community values, two of them. One is spiritual formation, one is worship. And I think that greater love and an understanding of greater love is necessary for spiritual formation and ultimately for intimate times of worship. So we're continuing our Greater Love series. We started 2 weeks ago, really, with the introduction of our 12 global workers. I appreciated Ryan so much reminding us of who our friends are that are serving around the world, and to see their pictures and to hear their videos. We're represented so well as a community around the world, and we're so thankful for that. We're wanting this morning to discuss the Lord's table and continue to gather around the table. We've received emblems. We've referenced the Last Supper. And we want to continue to talk a little bit about what it means to be welcome to the table and what it means to leave the table well. So let's kind of go into that journey. We note that Jesus welcomed his disciples to the table. And Luke led us in that understanding again this morning. The meal that was served at the table was a meal that was a long time in the making. What was served at the table, the conversations at the table, the activities during the meal, we do need to make note of them. They often say that people's last words and final gestures are often remembered for a long time. My father passed away a number of years ago, and I hold dearly to his last words and his last gestures. And in some way, this Last Supper is a culmination of years of teaching, years of illustration, and we do need to continually take note of lessons we learn at this table. The stakes were high at that last meal. John and Mark record that beyond this table, after the meal was served and Jesus left the room where it was served, he was not long after that arrested. He was tried. He was sentenced. And then he suffered a very cruel public death of crucifixion. True story. That's why I'm thankful that the cross is on our a reference point, not as a room decorator, but as a reference point for spiritual formation and worship, right? We gather at the foot of the cross, which is the healthiest place to live a life. So let's return again to the table. We're going to use Mark 14 and John 13 to remind ourselves again. In Mark 14, and we've already done this during this service, but Mark 14 records how Jesus served a piece of bread and he served a cup of juice. And ever since then, those emblems, and I'm so glad at Living Waters, we regularly use them. Jesus said, I want you to partake of these emblems until I return. So this table has a present context, but it also points us to the future. This reminder that Jesus Christ is returning again. And how important it is to have within our lives places and moments and touch points to remind us of the imminent return of Jesus Christ. We are thankful for the table that says, you do this until in remembrance of me until I return. Jesus Christ is returning. Jesus never wants us to forget that his personal body was crucified on a cross and that his personal blood was shed through the piercing of a soldier's sword. And he says, I never want you to forget that I demonstrated my love for you and that while you were yet a sinner, I died for you. He's not posturing at all. He's not angry. He is a loving, gracious God that just simply never wants us to forget his greater love. For our benefit, actually. Never, never forget. But what we want to focus on today is the second part of the meal. The first part we've all shared, even during this service. Let's consider the second part and use John chapter 13 to do so. It says on the screen, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, he took off his outer clothing, and he wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. So this is for those that would have been at the table that stuck around. I think they all did, but never leave a meal early. John notes a few things about Jesus, that in that meal, as recorded, he was fully aware of the authority that had been given to him by his Father. So we study the New Testament understanding that Jesus was fully God and fully human. And because of that position, he had authority. And we saw that exercised a few times in his public ministry of the raising of the dead, the healing of the sick, and the ability to have discernment and words of knowledge for people. He had authority. And that authority was at the table. He knew his title, he knew his authority, he was fully God, and he had divine supernatural power at that table. Jesus actually was carrying an authority of spoken word. You know, in Genesis that it says that the world was created through the spoken word. And it's the same authority that Jesus had. Jesus could have spoke a word, he could have raised his hand, and he truly could have set a very different course of history for mankind. But he restrained himself, even knowing the events that would follow outside the room. Again, his arrest, his trial, his sentencing, and his ultimate death. It says he arose from his table, and took off his outer clothing. Now, this is when the story needs to be completely understood. The verb that John uses to describe the taking off of the garment needs to be noted because it's very significant. The word took off means to lay off or to lay aside, to wear or carry no longer, to give up, to set forth in a different direction. So, the symbolism is obvious, the meaning is rich. What was Jesus laying aside beside his outer garment? What was he releasing? Paul in Philippians shed some light. It says, though he was God, the NIV says, who being in the very nature God, so Jesus was not nurtured into authority and title. It was by nature. And that's duly noted. He did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up. It's the same word as took off his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being when he appeared in human form. He humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. So scenarios, at that last meal, prior to his death, Jesus could have postured and exercised rank, title, and maybe even in some ways create a preferred plan that would avoid the cross. But he didn't. He laid it down. And in so doing was determined to demonstrate what we're calling in this series greater love. He arose from the table and he took off his outer clothing, laying down his rights, his privilege, any rank he had, and he humbled himself as a servant to all. And again, this is all in light of the cross, shadow of the cross. And now, he calls us to this. to lay aside rank and titles, things that we boast of, things that anything that would inhibit us from living our lives with this higher calling, the calling of a servant, he calls us to. Because no servant is greater than his master. So our master was submitting himself to a path and a process that would cost him his life. And no servant is greater than his master. It begs the question at this moment, who's our master? Who's our master? Who actually is the master? Whose ways, I guess, and I'm asking myself these questions in reflection, whose ways am I following? The way of the master or not? So Jesus took off, but John notes in our text, Jesus also put on. And in the same way that it is laced with obvious symbolism, the depths of the word take us to a greater understanding. It says he took off, but he also put on. He took off his outer garment and he put on a towel, the verse says, and he wrapped it around himself. He put it around himself. Another translation says he girded himself. So while he put off, he also put on. And this word put on means to seize, to lay hold of, to apprehend, and to get possession of or to obtain. So while he released, while he put on, he obtained something else. This word put on or obtain is somewhat easily illustrated in the language of when in marriage, where a husband and wife are united together and they obtain, at least the scriptural idea, they obtain a union, right? Two becomes one. They obtain that. They put that on. In the same way, what Jesus was doing as a master is he was obtaining, he was becoming as one as a servant would. He was becoming a servant. He was putting on the role and responsibility of servanthood. He took the servant's towel and he tied it around his waist. And then practically it says, he took a towel, took that towel, and it says one by one. He went around the room and he touched and he cared for individually the people in the room. He washed his disciples' feet. And again, a servant is not about carrying a title. It's about carrying out a task. And Jesus very quickly wanted the listener, wanting us, to understand the purpose of servanthood. It's not about a title, it's about a task. So Jesus takes the towel. See, friends, we can't separate from this table the towel, because the towel belongs at the table. And I think it's the best place for it. He washes his disciples' feet, and in so doing, he is introducing continually this idea of greater love. I kind of think, as you study it out, I mean, it's just me, but I wonder if one of the best coat of arms that would represent Jesus' kingdom would be the towel, the coat of arms for this great kingdom, a towel. You can't ignore the towel at the table of the Last Supper. It must have been interesting to be there because there was a complete role reversal happening at that table. And Peter took a little bit of a offense to it and tried to manipulate the outcome. But here there was a role reversal for the one into whose hands the Father had given all things now takes his disciples' feet into his hands and he washes them. And in verse 14, Jesus says, "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." I think John's getting it right. He says, not to do what he did, but to do as he did. the community Jesus has brought into being is one that manifests the love of God with no trace of pride or posturing. This community lays things down to put on the attitude of humble servants. Philippians says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Thinking of others as better than yourself. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. So take care of yourself. And there's so much to doing that. Take care of yourself and take care of others. Be in a good place so you can be in a good place to help others. So the putting off and the putting on. We are to put off pride and selfishness so that we can put on humility. We are to put off posturing in a critical spirit so that we can put on the idea of thinking of others as better than ourselves. We are to put off personal ambition so that we can put on servant service. Jesus, at the table, was introducing that which is so foundational to spiritual formation and worship. Greater love. For the church is to be known by its love. Recipients and dispensers of love. It's interesting, later in the meal, Jesus says, your love for one another. The stakes were high here. Again, last words, last gestures, the stakes were high. This will be the last time that there'd be unhurried time together with his disciples. And the stakes were high. He wanted them to get this. And near the ending of the meal, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Another translation. For by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. It's actually a fascinating strategy. I mean, of all the strategies, Jesus chose this. Love one another. Fascinating. If you think about groups, religions, all around the world's attempts to create a little bit of branding or similarity, a camaraderie. Think about some of the groups around the world, even locally. I mean, some groups would say, if we can just get, let's say, get creative here, if we could just get everybody to dress the same way, then this is how all men will know that they are followers of the way, of that way, right? And some of you have traveled around the world, you know that that's the case. People dress the same way. And when you look at them, you go, well, they're those people. Others groups have said, well, if we can just get people to eat the same food, right? That wherever they are, whatever table they're at, then because of what they eat, they will be known as the followers of that way. Other groups have said, you know, related to haircuts, you shave the head. And if you shave the head, Glenn's got his hands up at the back. Glenn doesn't have a lot of hair. He's just wondering where this is going. So you travel around and you go, well, they've made some appearance choices. And as a result of that, they're followers of the way. There's a distinction to that. Over the course of history, it's been the taking of the sword and the implementation of force because we will implement our ways. But that's not what Jesus the Master was setting out as a strategic plan or the interests of his heart. I mean, look around this room. I mean, we're not dressing the same, right? I mean, we look good, but we're not dressing the same. And when you leave here, you're going to go to a table and you're going to eat all different kinds of food. And we're released into activities of the week. And this church is so creative in how they walk out their faith. We celebrate that. We celebrate, actually in some ways, we celebrate our diversity. But what Jesus was getting at here is said, okay, well, yeah, I release you to that, but what will create the common bond locally and abroad regardless of race and tribe and country and continent, will be love. That my people on all continents and in all times, past, present, and future, will be recipients of greater love and dispensers of greater love. That's his idea. It's quite an idea. The stakes are high. This love is a love that can change the world. And if it wouldn't be the case, then Jesus wouldn't have used it to release people from the table. He would have did it a different way. So that day at the table, the master picked up a towel, and said, "The towel is my strategy." That we would be, again, recipients and then dispensers of greater love. Greater love is shared when we humble ourselves, asking two questions. The first question is, how can Jesus help? For the master has come to serve. And that's still the case. And the second question is, how can I help? Because I have come to serve. For there's no greater love, John 15:13, the foundational verse for our series. There's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friend. I get interested in the idea of lay down. I don't know how you end your days, but most of my days end with me lying down, right? And usually when I lie down, I usually say to Julie, "I can't believe how tired I am." Anybody else? I don't know. It's in the front row. I say that a lot. They go, "Oh, why am I so tired?" And maybe I'm just a lazy guy, but who knows? But what I usually do after asking myself the question is I kind of review my day. And, you know, you check your Fitbit, you sync it with your phone. Okay, 13,000 steps. That might have something to do with it. And then you review who you've been with and who you talk to and walk the dog four times. And you get a picture of what your day has been like. And you go, okay, well, maybe that's why. As I lay down, I'm feeling some fatigue. What Jesus was wanting us to remember here, or rather to create a question for us continually, is this. In the midst of all of your energy, what are you laying your life down for? What are you laying your life down for? In the midst of all the cares of life, which we need to be so responsible to, we do that perhaps in light of a higher calling upon our life. A calling to be a dispenser of greater love. A people that will demonstrate greater love. Now, some would say, that sounds pious. That sounds like a lot of ambition to be thought of as presenting yourself as dispensers of greater love. I think it's actually the opposite. The servanthood model of the master is actually, the way that he went up is actually to go way, way down, right? The way up in the kingdom is actually to go down. It's countercultural. It's about not having selfish ambition. It's about having a servant attitude and activity. Being known as a people of greater love, not to draw attention to ourselves, but to make Jesus' love known all around this community. I mean, wouldn't it be great to have it thought of because of your reputation, and even maybe the collective reputation of the fine people in this room? I've been to the arena, I've been to the library, I've been to the workplace, I've served in my choir, I've served in various places, I go to work, and I've noticed that there's no greater love than the love that I've experienced when I meet the people from Living Waters Church. Is that pious? I hope not. Is that arrogant? I sure hope not. To take the position of a servant is to take the position of humility. And it leads us to good places. Places, I think, that allow us, as we heard the last couple weeks, to be a people that help others. And to be doing so in a way that draws glory to God and not to ourselves. So Jesus brought a towel to the table, and he did it for a reason. And I would imagine in this room today, the towel that Jesus holds in his hand is a towel that he wants to use today to serve you because you need help today. There's people in this room that need spiritual help, need physical healing, need some encouragement, you need some direction because you're not maybe in a good place. And Jesus, the Master, he's here this morning with a towel to say, whatever your need is, I got your back. I'm here for you. The towel's at the table as well because he cares for us and he cares for others. Because of his great love for the others, if you would, he is wanting to place a towel in your hand. I was tempted to buy a couple hundred towels and at this point call for the ushers of the church and distribute the towels, but I'm too cheap, so I didn't do it. But I want you to hold a towel today. I want you to receive the ministry of the towel. And I don't want you to forget the towel when you leave this place today. Because I'd imagine there's people that are presently coming to your mind that need you. They don't need your title. They just need you to come alongside them. And that's the Christian way. Served and serving. That's what Christian community is. Right? Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for the table. We're thankful for the invitation to come to the table today. We thank you for the towel, the illustration, very symbolic of your heart to care, your heart to serve. I thank you that you're standing in our midst today as a humble servant. I thank you that you have, again, within your hands, the ability through the work of your Spirit to heal people in this room and to help people. And we do pray for one another in this room that this very simple moment would be made profoundly significant because of the touch that we receive right now from you. Heal and help each one of us today. Because we do stand in a place of great need. Lord, release us, we pray, with the symbolism of the towel, not maybe in our hand, but more importantly in our heart. That as freely we have received, so freely we will give. May this be a great week of Christian ministry. In the vast array and variety of places that Living Waters community will find itself this week, whether it's in Langley or whether it is in the ends of the earth serving like we heard last week. Thank you that you called us to be good lovers of others. And we pray that as that happens, people will be helped. Our hearts would be encouraged. And that ultimately you would receive glory. Because really all glory is due to you and you alone. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Amen. So don't forget your towel when you leave today. Thanks for coming to Living Waters. Bless you.